It's well understood that a good education can be a game changer in society. And of course, here in South Africa, it's known that the educational outcomes at primary and secondary school levels have not been as positive as we'd hope as a nation. The challenges the country faces, which include high unemployment, are significant, especially as the way of working changes with the fourth industrial revolution, with those who have some form of qualification and experience already having to study further and to adapt to a changing world, or run the risk of being marginalized as the digital working choo-choo train chugs through the station. Saving for your child's education is therefore key in being able to ensure that your child has a fighting chance of securing a decent future. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line by Kinosi Magosha. She's Head of Client Solutions Savings at Sanlam Personal Finance. Thanks very much for joining us, Kinosi. Just hit us with some of the stats in South Africa's current education story. And of course, affordability of good quality education continues to be a real difficulty for many South African families.
Yes, we found that most South African families are struggling to pay for education. And it's still like one of the top items they actually spend money on. But still with that, it's quite a stretch, as you would have seen like over the past couple of years, that with things like the fees must fall movement, that education is seen as important, but the struggle to pay for it still remains.
Absolutely. So you as Sanlam, you guys have commissioned a survey of people around education. What were the key findings in that report, and what sort of lengths are we seeing ordinary South African folk go to ensure that their children get the best educational chances possible?
So ordinary South Africans, you find that actually, firstly, they believe education is important, right? But what they also, what we actually found is that they also think that it's a responsibility of government to actually pay for education. But then also, there's also an appreciation that parents have a responsibility to pay for education itself. So it's just been a bit of a difficult thing of having to pay for education now, but still save for education, like tertiary education, which is important for employment purposes.
Exactly.
So even though people are actually spending quite a bit on education now, they're not necessarily saving for education in the future, which is what actually will make a difference in terms of employability itself.
Exactly. So just give us a sense of what the education inflation picture has looked like over, say, the past 10 years.
So over the past 10 years, typically you would have found that inflation has been, for education, is more than the general inflation. Like, you would find that general inflation is taken to be around 6%. So typically we assume that it will see like inflation to be like at another 3% on top of general inflation for particularly tertiary education. But that has dampened a bit with the recent years, because with the pressure that has placed on the universities not to increase their fees, the differential from general inflation has narrowed a bit. Mm. So you actually have seen that the inflation is hovering around 6% and 7% for secondary education, but it still remains high, because I mean, within that you'll see that there are different types of schools that are included in there, which can range 10% increases and 0% increases in some instances. So it's generally more than inflation, generally more than what people actually get as salary increases as well.
Yes. So the point that you made earlier is very important, is that even if people have access to, in inverted commas, free education, they still need to be cognizant of, down the line, they may actually need to pay for their child's tertiary education, especially if they're in that missing middle. If you can just explain to us the dilemma of people who are in the missing middle and the fact that they still have to go out and find their own fees.
Yeah, so I think with the, you would have noted that with the NSFAS, with there's now a bursary per se that's actually now available for people earning less than 350,000 rand in a year. But then if you are beyond 350,000 rand in a year, you are not covered by a NSFAS bursary scheme, which means you actually need to make a plan. So the plan means that parents should actually be saving like now for their education in the future, or they're actually having to take out loans to make sure that children have a chance to actually study. Mm. But the reality is that we find that more than half of the youth today say they can't actually afford tuition. So as a result, you find that only 1 in 10 are actually in tertiary education institutes, like from the age of 18 to 24.
Yes.
Only 1 in 10, like that essay's numbers show that only 1 in 10 individuals are actually at tertiary education, attending tertiary education, which means the prospects of employment are also affected by that.
So this is where your expertise comes in, Gnosi. Clearly, families need to consider saving for education as early as possible for their children's various stages of learning. What do you advise? How soon should they start? And what sort of savings vehicles do they need to be thinking of using?
So in terms of starting, the earlier, the better. Because when you start earlier, then you can actually start making a dent with small contributions. So, because the later you actually delay it, the more you'd actually have to pay. Like, take example of a child starting primary school. If a parent wants to actually save for 600,000 rand to fund a degree in 12 years' time, they actually need to contribute 20,000 rand now, like per annum. And then if they actually wait until the child, which is high school, that more than doubles to 50,000 rand. So the earlier a parent starts, the better. So what we've actually done on our side is that we focused on actually helping parents to get there by helping them firstly to appreciate how much it actually costs to send a child to university or a technicon, or actually to pursue any like tertiary education. So, but what we also then do is that we help the parents to stay along the journey, because the education costs change every year.
Yes.
So you actually need to keep checking every year to see how exactly am I doing towards this saving goal that I've actually set up. So we've got something called the goal manager that then helps our clients to stay the course, so they're actually not surprised by the time they actually need to start paying for their children's education, but they've actually sufficiently prepared. Or if they know, they actually will know that, okay, I've saved towards half of the fees, and the other half maybe I may need to arrange for a loan or whatever may be to actually fund the education cost.
Yes, and that 600,000 rand that you're talking about is a little bit of a thumb suck, if you like, because you can't anticipate what inflation is going to do down the line.
Yeah, so which is why it's important to check in every year,
yes.
Which is what the financial, like the goal manager allows you to do, because if you check in every year, then there's less room for surprises.
Yes.
So that 600,000 rand gets firmer the closer it is that you actually get, to the extent that actually inflation is controlled, which it would be, because there's also societal pressure on institutions actually to make fees affordable.
Yes.
So, but then what happens is that annual check-in is quite critical to make sure you're not surprised and falling short come the time to fund the education costs themselves.
Mm-hmm. And just in conclusion, Gnosi, I think our conversation is basically saying that parents cannot afford to have a pay-as-you-go attitude when it comes to paying their children's fees.
Yeah, it will make things very difficult. I mean, as you can see, like if most children are not able to attend tertiary education, it means the pay-as-you-go approach will limit the opportunity to pursue study further.
Yes.
So starting early, sacrificing a little bit here and there today, just even just starting the habit of saving, and then it helps you to get there. So to just have that cushion, because I think one of the other challenges that you also need to think about your retirement planning while you're actually trying to provide for your children's education as well.
Yeah.
So it's very important to just start planning for those things now and gradually build towards those particular goals so that you have sufficient money to meet those goals and you can actually carry wealth to the next generation.
And of course, with education, it could possibly be the best investment you ever made in your child.
Yeah, because you can allow them to actually be their own, to be entrepreneurs as well. And I think that's also in a conversation we're not having enough of in our country, that, you know, education is not just about getting a job. It's also about having the ability to see things differently and actually maybe create jobs for other people and solve the issues of unemployment that we're currently experiencing in our country.
That was Gnosi Magosha. She's the head of client solution savings at Sanlam Personal Finance.